Morning, everyone. It's really great to be here. It's been too long since I've been here, so I'm really glad to be worshiping with you this morning. And it gives me a chance to say something which I haven't had a chance to say yet, which I did say in the weekly news, but wanted to say myself. Thank you very, very sincerely on behalf of Lindsay and the whole family for all your prayers and love and care following the death of Lindsay's dad. We really have felt so loved and cared for in this season, and we're so thankful for that. We head down tomorrow for the funeral on Tuesday, along with John and Sheena, who are having a similar day on Tuesday, and I know they would, and we would certainly appreciate your prayers. So thank you so much for the lovely way that you've cared for us in this season. Some of you know that I am prone to getting into a project. If I get into something, I really, really get into it. Now, these are not always the kinds of projects that Lindsay would prefer I got into. She might prefer it was like a DIY project or something like that. But my projects normally involve a spreadsheet of some sort, or a list at the very least. And at the moment, I'm going through all my old worship albums. Scott periodically gets a message from me saying, look at this classic that I'm listening to. All the old albums I used to have on my wall in our home in West Hill, my CD collection, which I miss so much, looking at this beautifully organized alphabetical then chronological CD collection. Those CDs are now gone, but I ripped them and uploaded them as MP3s, and I'm going through all my old albums to come up with the definitive Fave Christian playlist, which I'm more than happy to share with you. If you want weekly news, we can add that into the weekly news. It's still being nurtured. It's going to take some time yet, but I'm getting there. As I was doing that, I came across an album by a songwriter called Dustin Kensrue. You may not know of him, but you do sing one of his songs. The song "Rejoice" that we sing here often is he co-wrote that with I think Stuart Townend. The song that was on my mind this week that I came across is very different to the tone of the song "Rejoice" that we normally sing. It's called "There's Something Dark." I'll read you the first verse of this song. He doesn't just do worship music, he also just does sort of singer-songwriter stuff. This maybe isn't one that you would want to sing in church, but it says this: "There's something dark inside of me. There is a ghost in this machine. There's a giant jagged hole twists and rips through my soul like the roots of some old wretched tree. There's something dark inside of me." Now, that did not make my Fave Christian playlist. It did make my mellow playlist, but that wasn't the vibe I was going for in my Christian playlist. But here's the thing. It could have made my Christian playlist. To acknowledge the darkness that is inside of us is a very Christian thing to do. As has been said, we're entering into this Christmas season, this season of Advent. And Advent, a sense of waiting, longing, yearning, hoping that one day there will come some lasting hope that we can hold on to. Part of that is to acknowledge the darkness that is around us. And even not just around us, but the darkness that is in us. And it's fascinating. If you think of Hollywood, and you think of how this is considered in movies, I'm sure you're going to watch a few movies over the coming weeks, over the holidays and things. And the way that Hollywood deals with darkness and evil is quite interesting to consider. It's often something that is external to us. Darkness is an enemy out there, which is to be defeated. Or it is, perhaps more recently, darkness is an atmosphere or a context within which you need to find your light so it can shine into that dark environment. Or increasingly, There is this idea in many movies you come across, not least probably the most popular movie at the cinema just now, that there is this idea that there is a darkness inside of us. Yes, that's true, but that's because of circumstances that we have faced, or that darkness is actually what others around about us are projecting onto us. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to acknowledge that inside. The important thing is that you embrace who you truly are in light of all of that. And in that context, good and evil are not absolutes. They're relative. They're maybe even socially constructed. To which Dustin Kendrew says, nah. He says, there is a darkness. And it's not only out there, or it's not some sort of misunderstood social projection. There is a darkness that is real, and it's in me, and I need help, is the tone of that song. And the tone of this season is, we need help. We need light to shine in the darkness. Which is to say, friends, we need Jesus. Which, of course, what this season is all about. Jesus came to shine light in the darkness. Jesus came into a dark world to be light, so that we don't have to remain in darkness. If you have a Bible, I'd encourage you. We're going to be darting all over the place. Aidan is kindly going to put the words up on the screen. But if you want to follow along, John chapter 12, it just says it so plainly here, the Lord Jesus. Jesus cries out, John 12:44, the one who believes in me, Jesus says, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And the one who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me would not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and doesn't keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. I have come, verse 46, I have come as light into the world, so that anyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. That's one of the many reasons why Jesus came, because it's dark. Not right now, it's a beautiful, sunny Christmas winter morning. But we know this world is dark, right? We just know it deep in our hearts. It's bleak, it's depressing, it's concerning, it's scary. And Jesus came into that darkness to shine, to bring light, so that we would not remain in that place. The idea of darkness. I mean, it's right to look outside, right? You might go, come on, it's beautiful here. And it is. And the idea of darkness can be elusive. By definition, the idea of darkness is elusive. Some of you will remember Gollum's riddle about darkness in The Hobbit. He says this, it cannot be seen. I'm giving you the answer ahead of time. You're welcome. It cannot be seen, cannot be felt, cannot be heard, cannot be smelt. It lies behind stars and under hills, and empty holes it fills. It comes first and follows after, ends life, kills laughter. We know darkness has an effect, but it can be hard to acknowledge, hard to pin down. And that's one of the reasons, I think, why the scriptures leave us in no doubt as to the reality of things. Turn back a few chapters, please, to John chapter 3. The Bible assumes, friends, that there is darkness in this world, and without Jesus, we remain in that darkness. We see that in verse 46 of chapter 12, that anyone who believes in Jesus will not remain in darkness. But we see it in other places as well. Look, please, at John chapter 3 from verse 16. And today, 16 is not going to be the main focus. Verse 19 is going to be the main focus. But we'll start at 16. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. You see, just like a criminal prefers to get after their criminal activity in the dark, where no one can see it, so is the same, the scriptures say, for us, with all humanity. We don't want to be exposed. We don't want people to see the mess that we are and the mess that we're in. People loved darkness rather than the light, verse 19. And this is not some philosophical reality, but this is about the deeds that we do. This is about our actions. This is about the darkness that we bring to others around about us. We'd rather keep that hidden, so we prefer the dark. Please turn forward to Ephesians chapter 5. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul just really bluntly and plainly makes the similar point. Verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 5. Let no one deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming on the disobedient because of these things. Therefore, do not become their partners, for you were once darkness. You were once darkness. Did not just do bad things, do dark things from time to time. You were once darkness. But, I've lost my place. You were once, where am I? Verse, thank you so much. Verse 8. I still can't find my eyesight. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So this is serious. This is God's wrath is coming because of this darkness that exists in the world. And it's not just something that we dip our toes in or our fingers in, but this is fundamentally who we were apart from the grace of Christ. One other passage. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. I've got it written down here. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who, what, called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Without God rescuing us, we are in darkness. We are in a bleak, lifeless, hopeless place. And into that context, the Lord Jesus came and his light shone so brightly. We've already seen that in John chapter 12. Let's look at John chapter 1 verse 4. In him, the word Jesus Christ, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This is our Lord Jesus. Jesus himself said it so plainly, didn't he, in John chapter 8, verse 12. He said, I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. This is our Lord Jesus. Now, people often didn't see this reality when Jesus walked among them. He was a poor, homeless, dusty teacher. And that was the sort of sum total of how a lot of people saw him. But every so often in the Gospels, reality broke through. And the true picture of who Christ was shone, literally. We see it, first of all, in the accounts of the Transfiguration. Jesus was changed. He was metamorphosed for a moment. And it says there in Matthew 17 verse 2, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Dazzling white. Luke puts it like that. We see it in Acts when Jesus appears to Paul in Acts chapter 9. It says a light from heaven flashed around him. When Paul is recounting this passage in Acts chapter 26, he describes it as a light brighter than the sun. flash before him. It was the Lord Jesus. We see in Revelation, Jesus appears to John, and it says this is the description of the Lord Jesus. The hair of his head was white as wool, white as snow, and his eyes like a fiery flame. His feet were like fine bronze as is fired in a furnace, and his voice like the sound of cascading waters. He had seven stars in his right hand. A sharp double-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was shining like the sun at full strength. Do you see all these writers are grasping, fumbling, trying to find words to just display and communicate the sheer glory and wonder and brightness of who this Lord Jesus Christ is. So the scriptures are clear that the darkness is real, and they are clear that Jesus the light is real. Which begs the question, right? Why is it that we so often don't see this? And why is it that so few in our world see this reality? We grow accustomed to our circumstances, don't we? Some of you know I'm a bit of a tech geek. Someone was asking me for advice. They were buying a new TV this week. I think they were looking for some sales or something, and they were asking me for some advice, and I got excited for them because their current TV is from many, many years ago. So they're going to notice a big change in the picture quality. So I was telling them, we were talking about OLEDs and QLEDs and all sorts of other acronyms that are confusing, to be quite honest with you. But I was excited for them because they're going to notice such a big difference. But at the end of the day, it's funny with technology, isn't it? With stuff like this. The cutting edge TV of 15 years ago, if you go back to it now, you can barely imagine that you were able to live with it. So juddery and jittery and low resolution and dull is the picture before you. But you just get used to it. You just get used to it. We become accustomed to our circumstances, whatever they are over time. I've mentioned glasses. I think I need to check. I need to go and get an eyesight test again because I'm struggling to read the scripture here. And we just become accustomed to the way things are. And then we go to the optician and we get a new pair of glasses and wow, all of a sudden our eyes are opened. Or think of it in the light darkness world. You think of when you're in a room and maybe someone walks into the room and go, why are you sitting in darkness? You say, well, you didn't realize that you were sitting in darkness. Your eyes just adapt to the circumstances that you are in. The point is this. We get used to the darkness around about us. Why is this? Why is this the problem in this world? I think if we were conscious enough about the reality of the darkness, we would be all the more eager to find true light that would shine into that mess. I want us to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Scott, I just called you Paul, there's a blessing. The Apostle Scott said that we are pausing 2 Corinthians, and he's right, but we're going to just go there because what explains why we don't see the depth of the darkness? We might see pockets of it, but this darkness within. Well, I think 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is a brilliant understanding, a brilliant explanation of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 3 says this. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul here talks of a veiling of the gospel, something that keeps us from seeing the wonder of it, the beautiful, bright blessing of it. And this veiling is leading people to perish. It is keeping them in darkness. And it's verse 4 where Paul explains what's going on here, that the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who have yet to believe in Christ. There is a blinding that is happening. That is why we cannot see the depth of the darkness and the true glory of Jesus Christ, because we are being blinded. It's kept from us. The devil is tricking us, is fooling us, is distracting us, is numbing us, whatever it takes to keep us from seeing the depth of the darkness and the glory of the light. That is what he is doing, and we're blind to it. And there's two aspects to this. Two things that we can't see. We can't see the horror of sin, and we can't see the true light of the gospel. So let's just look at those briefly as we begin to come to a close. Not seeing the horror of sin. This has been our problem, people, since the very beginning. We think that we know what is good and right for us, and we take steps that lead us away from goodness, away from the good plans that God has for us, into darkness, into peril. This has always been the case. It was the case for Adam and Eve when they chose the fruit which they thought would bring greater enlightenment and joy, darkness. It was the case with the Tower of Babel when God's people wanted to be more important, led to darkness. It was the case in the desert, remember, Numbers? The Israelites who were frustrated with God, thought they knew better, wanted to even go back to Egypt to satisfy themselves. It was darkness that they were walking into. It was the case with the people of Israel when they asked for a king so that they could be like the other nations. These are all, you might think, good things, but it was leading them to a place of darkness. In the New Testament, this was the case with the rich young ruler who chose to hold on to his finance instead of giving everything to the Lord. Remember some people who sought Jesus out and asked him to do a sign and wanted him to impress them for their own benefit rather than for his sake. Even some people who came and wanted rid of this Jesus because they thought that that was going to bring things to be right, and all the time walking into darkness. Before we acknowledge the wonder of the light, we have to acknowledge and see the full horror of sin. We think that we know what is best for us, like a tiny little child who wants endless ice cream, unlimited screen time to run free no matter what danger is around about them. It's the same with us. And we do not know the depth of the darkness that we are toying with. I've shared this illustration many, many years ago, but it's a brilliant illustration I heard from John Piper. It was fresh in my mind after seeing the dead spiders in my office on Friday. You'll see why. He says, sin is like Satan giving us a beautiful ebony brooch to wear around our neck. And sin is like when we lie in the darkness and we rejoice in this lovely ebony brooch that we've been given, and we touch it and we explore it and we see the smooth parts and the jaggedy parts, and we just take such joy in that. And then the gift of light is given, and we look down and what we thought was this beautiful ebony brooch is a cockroach around our necks that we have been enjoying in the darkness. When that happens, when the light shines, you rip it off, right? You throw that disgusting thing away. That which you thought was precious, that which you thought was bringing you joy, you now realize is disgusting, is dirty, is harmful. Living in darkness, away from the light, friends, means not grasping the mess and the horror of the things we hold round our neck and enjoy and hold and cherish. We need light to shine to see the horror of the darkness. So, Satan blinds our minds from seeing the depth of the darkness, and then secondly from seeing the glory of God. Around 1500 years ago, in Ravenna, I think I'm saying that right, the Emperor of Rome built a tomb for his sister. It's called the Galla Placidia. It's one of the supposed kind of tourist hotspots of Italy. I see one or two smiling as if they've maybe been there. And there are these beautiful mosaics across the ceiling. But many who go to this place end up writing reviews and expressing frustration or disappointment. They don't see anything so precious and beautiful about this place. There are only two little windows that let the light in, and mostly tourists are standing in front of them, so there's nothing really to see, and the tomb just ends up smelling like a sweaty old tomb, and they walk out disappointed and frustrated. Those who do that end up missing something pretty stunning. Somewhere along the wall, apparently, there is a box. Maybe it's probably more modern technology nowadays, but there was a box which, when you drop some coins into it, it activates some spotlights which shine up into the ceiling and show the beauty of the mosaics that are up there. The vaulted ceiling is covered with mosaics of starry skies, a description of Jesus as the good shepherd, and it's one of the most well-preserved pieces of art of its type, and they're just incredible and stunning to look at. And Scott and I have both mentioned this book many times. It's a book called With by a guy called Sky Gitani. It's a fantastic book. I commend it to you. And he writes about this in his book. Listen to what he says. He says, trying to speak with people about the wonders and beauty of life with God is exceedingly difficult because they simply have no reference point for it. They cannot begin to imagine what it looks like. It has remained hidden behind the shadows cast by this dark world. As Brother Lawrence, a 17th century monk, said about his rich communion with God, those only can comprehend it who practice and experience it. Like the mosaic ceiling in Ravenna, life with God is so far beyond our imagination that it must be revealed to us. We cannot begin to imagine the beauty that exists behind the shadows. A light beyond ourselves must be turned on so that we can begin to see. And this is precisely what occurred when God took on flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've been kept from seeing what? The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. God, verse 6, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give what? The light. God did something so that we would understand, so that we would see, to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Friends, that's why Jesus came. To shine light in this dark world. To show us the wonder of the good news of the glory of God revealed to us in the beautiful person of Jesus, the light of the world. We need a miracle to behold that. We need lights to be shone so that we can see the wonder of who God is. Without the work of the Holy Spirit bringing that about in our hearts, and that's something that goes on and on and on again, by the way, I'm sure in this room there will be some who once saw Jesus as precious and wonderful, and who over time, that picture has dimmed. The Holy Spirit is here today and can shine in our hearts again that we might see the wonder of who Christ is. And this is such a beautiful thing when it happens. Before that moment, Jesus is irrelevant, perhaps impressive as a person, perhaps boring, perhaps dull, perhaps a distant second, third, or fourth to our family, the people who we really care about and really find joy in. Perhaps Jesus is a distant second to our job or whatever leisure pursuit that we enjoy. And just like those people in an old, sweaty, horrible tomb, looking up into the darkness, you just think, what is this all about? What is there to see? What's so good about this? And then one day, for some reason, God's grace, by the way, God's grace, a light shines in your heart and in your mind, and you are able to see Jesus for the beautiful Savior that he is. This change happens because of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because the light of Christ shines and illuminates the wonder of who God is and the wonder of what he has done for every single person here in this room. Dear friends, Jesus came to shine light in the darkness. We live in a dark world. Sometimes it's so obvious to see that. Sometimes it's much more comfortable for us to look on and see darkness in others, in other situations, in other contexts. But we also need to acknowledge the darkness that is in each and every one of us. And sometimes we become numbed. We become too accustomed to that. And one of the things that we celebrate at this season, this Christmas season, is we remember Jesus who came to shine light into that dark world. Let him illuminate your life. Even this morning, friends, he is shining among us. We don't always, remember Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, we don't always see as we should. We see dimly. We see as in a mirror, as in a reflection. One day we will see Jesus in all his splendor. We'll see him face to face and we will know the true wonder of his glory. But until that time, ask for the Holy Spirit to grant you that greater spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1. Do you know that light? Dustin Kendrew had it right. There's a darkness in me. Isn't it so depressing? How you continually just come back to the same issues. I don't know what your issues are. You know what your issues are. But we all have these things that just, that we drag around with us. There's a darkness inside of us. We need the light of Christ. His forgiveness. His mercy, his compassion. His peace, his grace, his acceptance. His beauty. Jesus came into this world to shine light in the darkness so that you do not have to remain in that place. Let his light shine this morning. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you to shine. We need you to illuminate the wonder of Jesus Christ to us again. Thank you for music. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the joy we see in others. All these ways, Lord, that we are drawn to you. Thank you for the testimony of the scriptures of Jesus, whose face is bright as the lightning. God, we confess that our minds and our hearts become dull and we grow accustomed to that reality. So Holy Spirit, shine Jesus' light now in this place, this week, that we might see you for who you truly are. In Jesus' name.